Welcome to episode 15 of Breaking Español. We're your hosts, Jenny and Ben Solins, sharing our journey into learning a new language and raising our son bilingual. On today's episode, we dig deep into the topic, is Tijuana safe? We still hear from people that have a lot of fear and hesitation about crossing into Mexico, and we wanted to share experiences as well as some research we have done about it. Enjoy the show. Hi, honey. How are you?
Good. How are you?
¿Cómo estás?
Muy bien. ¿Y tú?
Bien, bien.
¿Sí? ¿Listo para grabando nuevo episodio?
Sí. I'm so glad Jack went to sleep early tonight.
Yeah, he was kind of a monster today, huh?
Well, we've just been struggling. I mean, he used to be on the dot, 6:30, bath, bottle, bedtime by 7. And then, I don't know what happened. He turned 13 months.
He became a toddler.
Yeah, I seriously think he just became a toddler. And we would fight bedtime. I mean, sometimes it would be like 7:30 or 8, which isn't bad. But then sometimes it'd be close to 9. And since we love to record at night, you know,
it was super late.
Well, we were just like not recording. So we were doing on Fridays, which aren't bad. But it was so hot here. So I'm just really excited he went to bed tonight. But yeah, we've been wanting to get in here and talk about, I was telling you, I still hear this a lot as we've expressed more and more that we are traveling to Mexico, that we're learning the language, that we just have a huge interest in Latin American culture and all of the above, that I'm still getting some comments here and there of, is it safe? Like, is it safe to cross the border? Is it safe to go down there? And so I think it was around 2008 when I wasn't living in San Diego, but there was a lot of the drug cartel stuff was going on, and there was just a lot the media was putting out there, just the border was unsafe, and it was a lot related to immigration and people coming across the border and drugs and all of the above. So within that time, I think you just saw a big dip in tourism going across the border. And still to this day, you see a lot of people, or you hear a lot from people that they don't want to go, especially being just, you know, we're a border town. So you think like how, and we've talked, you know, after going to Valle, we've talked a lot about the Baja in general, how great it is to go down there. And it's something that we want to explore more. And so we kind of wanted to dive into a little bit today just through conversation. And we have a few little stuff that we've researched and looked up. Like, where is this coming from that people have this resistance going down there, as well as is it valid? Like, is there really a reason to be scared to cross the border into Mexico through Tijuana, or is this all kind of just kind of old information and kind of what the media is putting out there? So it was interesting too, because sometimes people's fear almost projects on you. Like, I really wasn't ever scared of going to Mexico. Living in Phoenix, I had driven 4 hours down and gone to Rocky Point many times. And the only times I really remember being like at a place where I didn't speak the language, I didn't spend any time in Mexico growing up. And so the first few times I went, we would go and just heavily party. And it is an uncomfortable feeling being somewhere that you don't know a lot about and being in that state. But other than that, I really didn't go into heading down to Tijuana or heading south, you know, with any fear. And so as people started to talk about it, it made me kind of question, like, should I be scared? And that's when I started talking with you. And now that we're taking Jack down there, like, if we should. And I'm glad I looked into it, because it really reaffirmed that there isn't anything to be scared of for me. You know, like, I personally don't feel any reason to not go down there based on fear of being kidnapped or killed or being involved with any drug cartel things. I think things that really help us feel comfortable down there are speaking the language, though. Don't you think? Like,
yeah, for sure. It's, you know, even anytime you travel and you speak a language, I feel like it's just a weight lifted off your shoulders of this unfamiliar place you may feel like, but, you know, not even being able to communicate could be a real barrier and create a lot of fear, you know, honestly.
Do you hear people say that when you say you go down there?
Totally. All the time.
Do? Really?
Every time. Literally every person I talk to. Unless they, you know, are from there or have traveled. Yeah. I mean, even people, I think if you just travel the world, it's the same sentiment. You know, people go places there are legitimate dangerous places in the world, but yeah, you know, I mean, there's legitimately dangerous places here, in, you know, down the street. So nowhere is purely safe, right?
No, and it kind of got the conversation started with our nanny's from Tijuana. She was pretty much, she was born in Sinaloa, which is just down south from Tijuana. Or no, I'm sorry, it's actually pretty far. It's in mainland Mexico. It's not in Baja. But she's been in Tijuana since the time she can remember and raised her three girls there, lived there well into her late 40s. And she said she never, you know, didn't feel safe living there. Now, it is a poor place at times. You know, it's funny because it's poor, and it's also, we were just talking about how it's one of the most expensive Mexican cities, and that's just because it's a border town. So it's just going to be more expensive in general. But so I started the conversation with her, and she's someone who's Hispanic, speaks Spanish. You know, she's the most comfortable there. And so it was great to hear her, but also at the same time, I was like, well, that's because she's already comfortable there. But then we have a couple that, gosh, I think they're originally from Texas, if I remember right. And they moved down there because you can live beachfront for a phenomenal price.
Right.
And they were just really interested in the culture, the food. It's just across the border. So you come over and his commute, he was coming back for work. And she was raising their small son. His commute was less than like you had when you used to work in San Diego and you drove up to like Poway area. So the commute's not bad at all. And you just drive through the border. And they also felt there was no fear that they had there. And she actually told me a really good kind of experience that she saw. And it was because it's a poor area. I don't know if you remember this story she was telling us at dinner that one night. Because it's a poor area and there's still a lot of people that don't have money, when somebody comes in with a great deal of money and shows off with it, that would be the only time.
That's when you're a target.
You're kind of a target. And really, I think that's what she was saying, was the one time that she really remembers was this guy. He was American, I think, and he moved there and he had tons of money and was flashing it around, trying to be like a little philanthropic, but at the same time, just loads of money, big house, fancy car, shiny boots, the belt, the jewelry, all the above. And so he got involved with somebody local that was a local Tijuana resident, and then kind of hung out with, got involved in something that included a kidnapping and later, you know, became a deceased. But she said it all stemmed around this guy being overly flashy with the money and just not even kind of being aware of his surrounding. And she said that was, in the couple years they lived there, the only time she ever heard of anything. But as far as, I mean, she used to walk by herself to yoga, and it just felt like somewhere that was a little different of a neighborhood from San Diego. She never really felt like unsafe in any way. And they had, that she said the people were beyond friendly. And beyond that, or in addition to that, I had a client that moved down. She lived in Tijuana at first, and then she also lived down in Ensenada for a long period of time. Mm-hmm. And she would drive through Tijuana all the time. And she just more talked about Tijuana, about kind of what you did with the aggressive driving, because it's a border town. It's just, you know.
It's what we call offensive driving.
Or offensive, yeah.
You've heard of defensive driving. Down there, it's offensive.
Yeah, so that was the first kind of conversations I started having with just people that have spent a lot of time down there, or more time than me. And no one had any
You ever have people question Puerto Peñasco when you went down there?
There's always been this known thing with the cops that like they might pull you over and it might be pretend, or you might have to pay them off, and you know, that was definitely passed around.
Did that ever happen to you?
Not me, no. I mean, I heard a lot of stupid stories about people being drunk and getting thrown in jail, but I mean, they're just,
imagine that.
Yeah, and a lot of times it's too, because like the fact that you can drink there from 18, people went to border towns because you could drink at 18, and so they went there with just this rage mentality of,
yeah, well, I mean, they're just kids and they don't know how to handle their liquor, and
right. So a lot of times, anytime they were put in jail or paying off cops and stuff, it was kind of all related to just not kind of mistreating the area, you know.
Yeah, I've seen, you know, kind of your typical frat boys down in TJ. Drunk, like starting a fight in the middle of the road.
And Federale walk around with guns.
well, guess what? Yeah. these like six dudes in a pickup truck, federales, like the federal police, roll up with machine guns and slam these dudes, body slam them in the back of the truck and take off with them.
Right.
So guess what? Just don't get into a drunken rage fight in the middle of the road and you're fine. Yeah. Right. Like, I mean, it's kind of stupid, right? But it's kind of like, I think a lot of the stories you hear, I mean,
that's true. Just, I feel like anywhere in the world, if you don't know a lot about a place or you don't speak the language or anything like that, and you kind of just act like maybe it's a party town, you're kind of setting yourself up to be in maybe a neighborhood or a area.
It goes both ways, right? Like if there's no rules and you can do whatever you want, it also means that the pendulum is going to swing the other way. And if you get in trouble, it's going to be pretty harsh trouble, you know?
Right. Yeah. And when I was talking with you a lot about it, because you're a data guy, I kind of had asked you like, is it really like what, like as far as the numbers,
mm-hmm.
you know, is it somewhere that's unsafe? Because there's so many cities. Like how many times did I go traveling with you with work and I'd be in San Francisco walking through a sketchy neighborhood that I felt completely yeah. uncomfortable in, you know, even being in America. So,
well, so if you look at Mexico, Tijuana is the 22nd most sort of dangerous place. And that's just all crime. Only 9% of the actual crime there is violent crime.
And you're talking about Tijuana. You're talking about just Tijuana in all Mexico.
In general. In all of Mexico.
In all of Mexico, yeah.
And Mexico's a really big place. Yeah. Yeah. And border towns generally, if you look at the data, are a little bit, there's more crime there because there's more going on.
And they're more populated, aren't they?
Well, it depends. They're more populated than a lot of other cities. Yeah, they're some of the more populated ones. I think there's like 1.5 million people in Tijuana.
That's a lot, yeah.
Yeah, for, you know, it's a fairly large city. But it has today 28% less homicides than Chicago. You know, in fact, I just heard this past week, Chicago hit 500 homicides for the year.
Right.
It's nuts, right? And so I think of it very much like you would think of almost any American city. There are parts that are more violent and more dangerous. So if you stay away from those and you generally don't act like an idiot, then you're going to be fine. And that goes for really any city. You know, I mean, sure, there are places where just being white, American, whatever is going to get you in trouble. Right. But down there, I've not encountered anything super negative or crazy like that.
Especially since they see so many white Americans. I mean, it's the busiest border, the southern border to the U.S. It's yep. the busiest one. So there's many tourists, Americans, you know, all of the above, back and forth, crossing. So you don't really, it's not like haven't seen you, you know. It's not like.
Yeah, no.
And a border town lives off of tourism and lives off the people traveling right. across the border to come eat at the restaurants and shop the markets and the food. And
I think this is why we're seeing a kind of renaissance in cuisine and craft beer and wine is right. because, they want to attract tourists, and the 18-year-old, you know, kid that's going to rage on Revolution Street isn't coming anymore.
It's yeah. We just watched was it No Reservations from Anthony Bourdain?
Yeah.
We just watched this episode on Baja, and, you know, Ben remembers
Revolution Street.
Street being, it was a party town, you crossed mm-hmm. over, you raged all night, maybe came back early in the morning, you know, and that's what you knew of Tijuana, you knew of Revolution Street.
Yeah, that was it. You'd park in San Diego, walk across the border, take a cab to Revolution, find like a dance club, bar, whatever.
And you could ride a bull. Remember, you could like take shots.
They
off
had
of
all
your
kinds of random stuff. They
yeah.
had all kinds of crazy
it
stuff.
It was just
going
the
on.
Wild, crazy, wet and wild.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Tijuana. Like
yeah,
the
no rules.
Experience. No
whatever
rules.
You want, and then you go get some street tacos afterwards. Get a cab back to the border, and you're good.
And I kind of feel like, you know, maybe the one good thing that came out of a lot of the media that was, I remember being in high school and my friends in college in Arizona, they were passing out letters to the colleges saying don't spring break in Mexico.
Yeah. Now there is an official warning from the United States government about Mexico.
Right.
But it's really hard to have a warning about an entire country that is so big and so diverse.
Right.
Yeah, border towns are, I mean, as you mentioned, this is the busiest border crossing in the world.
It's, I don't think it's the world, is
It
it?
is.
Oh, it
Yeah,
is?
San Ysidro is the busiest border crossing in the
Oh,
entire
crazy.
world of
So
any two
that makes sense
countries.
why we sit there sometimes for 5 hours.
Yeah. But also what that a big part of that is drug trafficking.
Totally, yeah.
So San Ysidro and then Juarez over in Texas are two of the biggest places where drugs come into the United States. And so there's inherent violence when you have, that activity.
Yeah.
So yeah, there's going to be maybe more violence, but even if you look at the people that are involved in a lot of these violent crimes, they're not American tourists. They're other people that are either involved in the drug trade or other Mexicans that kind of got caught in the crossfire, right? Of knowing somebody that got mixed up or whatever.
Right.
So in terms of violence to a tourist or something, it's really, less
Well,
dangerous than a lot of American cities in that regard.
yeah, and getting back to the Anthony Bourdain episode, we watched No Reservations Baja, and I'll also throw in the show notes the other one we watched, which I think we kind of mentioned a little bit about. Do you remember what that episode was?
It
Was
was
it?
called Mexico, but it was he went to Mexico City and then Oaxaca, I think.
Oh no, I'm thinking of the one where he jumps in the cab and that's when the guy says, or maybe it was
That
Oaxaca. You're right.
was,
Okay. And he jumps in the cab with the guy and the guy says exactly that. He says, you know, everyone talks about Mexico being dangerous. He goes, but we're not the ones, you know, you won't get shot up at a club in Mexico or at a school or things like that.
There's not
And
really senseless violence. There's always sort of
it
a
is
motive.
it's specific motive, and there is a lot. There's a lot of cartel crime and
No
big
doubt.
drug bosses getting killed, and you know, it's very.
That's actually what happened in Tijuana, right? So Felipe Calderon, who was the president, was fighting against the Tijuana cartel, which was a big drug cartel. And they weakened the Tijuana cartel. And great, right? Except now what happens, the Sinaloa cartel comes in and tries to take over. So there's this big turf war between these rival cartels. And that's really was the source of all that stuff.
Right, yeah. Yeah, and to your point earlier about this kind of shift, it's on that the Baja, No Reservations Baja, that's exactly what they said is like no one's coming to Revolution Street anymore. And there's this mature taste happening. You know, people don't want to come down here for $2 shots, you know, in between your boobs with the the waitress shaking you around afterwards, like it's not that wild party town anymore. People are kind of wanting to go to a destination, and I think they've done a great job the last over the last, I don't know, 5, 6 years, revamping Baja and revamping Tijuana down into being somewhere where you would love to cross the border and check out the street tacos and the ceviche and the fresh seafood off of the ocean and the craft beer and we talked about wine country and Valle, and it's somewhere that you shouldn't even think twice about going to now, and you would want to learn about the culture. And I have to bring up that quote he says, which I have you write down, because I love the way he said it about Mexico being our neighbors. And I thought that was a great thing. Like with something 10 minutes away, it's not about Mexico being this other country or this scary place or something. It's like really about, you know, go ahead and read it because it's, I think you wrote down word for word what he says, to quote Anthony Bourdain.
Yeah, so in the episode, he says, "We forget. Most of us don't even know about this amazing microclimate just south of San Diego, another Napa right beneath our noses. Okay, Mexico is a country with a lot of problems, but they are neighbors. Our relationship with Mexico, however reluctant, is a lot more intimate and a lot more romantic than we even have with Canada."
Yeah, and I like that because it's so true. Like to not even want to get to know the people or the culture is like almost a shame that it's so close and it's somewhere just waiting to be kind of discovered. And people are, and it's going down there. You're seeing chefs that cross back and forth, chefs that have restaurants in San Diego or in LA or in America, and then down there because they really. They are comfortable with it and they're just trying to expand it and show you like this region and this area has so much to offer and just trying to put away those fears. And I think they're doing a great job enticing people to come down because I know really before I heard about a lot of those foodie places and you know picturesque places to go, I think you know I heard about the surf spots a few times, but there wasn't a ton that I wanted to go down to because I had heard about Revolution Street in Tijuana, yeah. And I was outgrown that. I wasn't interested in it. So there's this whole like new revamp of it. And I think it's done a really great thing for that.
You know, I think the source of a lot of the fear is, you know, when you don't speak the language and so you can't even read a sign or ask somebody for help. And you're not totally familiar with how things work, like how people interact with each other and where to go to find help with whatever you're looking for. And you're maybe grew up in an area that wasn't very culturally diverse. It can be intimidating, right? It can create this kind of fear of the unknown. And so I think that's a big part of like why we even do this podcast is because we want to inspire people to learn the language, to learn the culture, and to explore. Because especially if you live in Southern California, I mean, there's just like it is such an amazing, beautiful thing that is so accessible. And it'd be a shame for people to not really realize that.
Yeah. You know? And in like diffusing that fear, you know, because like I said, when people were coming, and now that knowing that a lot of people said the same things to you, when I heard it multiple times, it made me go that projecting that on me. I was like, should I be fearful? Because I, you know, and then it made me look into it. And I'm so glad I did because it really helps me respond in the right way. And people are very open to it. They're like, oh, I didn't know. Like,
yeah, right.
Gosh,
never,
I haven't.
Yeah. I've never had people say, no, you're wrong.
No, never. I mean, between the bridge opening up through the border for travel and things like that, and there's still the very obvious. It's poor down there. Mm-hmm. There's still those things that if you just aren't interested in that, none of that's going to change. You know, it is, I mean, gosh, it is still a third world country, right?
Yeah. I kind of don't like that moniker, but well, I guess you could call it that.
Yeah. I don't even need to say that part, but. Yeah, so, you know, there really are still things that you might just not be interested in going there, but to have actual fear or to just avoid even crossing the border with a tour, I mean, there's so mm-hmm. many ways to see it without having to go out of your comfort zone. That's where I really would say, just like I said, diffusing that fear altogether. Yeah,
that's a great tip. If you are nervous, let's say you don't speak Spanish at all, but you want to go down because you've heard us or other people, you know, praise it. A tour is a great way. You know, and I don't mean a big bus cheesy tour. I'm talking about like a little van with four other people tour. And it's led by, you know, a Mexican resident that speaks the language, knows where to go. And they take you and show you all the great stuff. I mean.
Right. And if you've done any other travel before, like I know I've had apprehension certain places, right? Like I remember we were in Belgium and I got on the train. You were at a conference and I got on the train by myself and I went to, gosh, I want to say it was Bruges or...
Ghent.
Oh, was it Ghent?
Yeah.
I think I was on my way to Bruges. That's right. And I got off at Ghent, which was really close. And, you know, I didn't know anything about it. I really didn't know much about...
You had no reference point.
I had no reference point. I didn't know... it was such a last minute trip. You got a conference there. I kind of... tagged along last minute and I didn't know a lot about the culture, the country, the language.
And everything's in French or Dutch.
Well, right. And I got off and I had no map. I had no Google. I had nothing. And I started to kind of navigate my way and it seemed relatively safe. Like it was all college students, but I felt completely uncomfortable. I couldn't read any sign.
Yeah.
It was all in Dutch. I went into a bar and everyone just kind of stared at me when I started speaking English. Like we have no clue. And it really, it was a great example of like, if you don't know anything about the place you're going, already that heightened nervousness of like...
There's like a wall you have to climb, right? Totally, there's like this barrier in front of you. And I guess, you know, but if you know the language or you know anything about the place or anything like that...
Like China, right? Like China or Japan, you know, that culture is very different than ours. Mm-hmm. The language, the, you know, alphabet.
Yeah, you can't even read the letters, right? You're like, what? I don't even know.
But I feel like you would prepare somewhat to go, you know?
Or you just get a guide or something.
Right, or you get, exactly. Like, you don't go because you're like, oh, I love sushi and I want to go to Japan.
My buddy John just got back from China and he was like, you cannot go here without a guide.
Right.
Like, absolutely not. There's no way you would figure out anything of what's going on.
Yeah, and I think that's kind of the takeaway, right? Like, you can grab an Uber down to Mexico. You can grab a guide. You can grab a tour. You can grab here it's so easy to grab a friend. Like, I talk to our neighbors and our friends all the time about, like, hey, will you take me to that market when you go down? Or, you know, I talk all the time about going down with other people, and you can grab a friend, someone Spanish speaking, you know, really get down there in general. But I would love to hear your guys' thoughts too. Like if anyone's felt that same fear or reservations, or if you just have any comments to add, like we would love to hear them, because.
Yeah, I'd love to hear people's tales about going down there. I mean, I know I've been pulled over by the cops one time and we had to pay them off and that kind of a thing. But I've yet to come across somebody that had like a serious violent thing that like scared them off, you know? Yeah. So it seems, not to be ignorant about it and say it doesn't happen, but I know it seems to be very few and far between. And I've just heard, you know, 1,000 times more stories about how great an experience somebody had and how welcoming people were.
I'm more terrified to drive in Phoenix with the road rage.
No doubt. Yeah, pull out a gun and shoot you as you're driving. Yeah. That happens in Phoenix.
And I lived there 13 years, and three separate occasions there was a series of snipers sitting on the top of the freeways, shooting people like it was a game. So yeah.
Because that's how bored we are in this country.
Yeah, and so I think, you know, anytime if I would ever have those fears or apprehensions, I'd be like, gosh, it's not really. Yeah. We're just more familiar with it here. You know, so
that's the thing, right? Like I don't think anybody would really, unless you're from a very small rural area, most people wouldn't have a fear of like going to Chicago.
Right, right. Yeah.
However, there is more crime there than there is in a lot of these other places.
Totally. So if you have anything to add to it and you want to email us you can email us at breakingespanol@gmail.com. We'd love to hear your stories. Find us on social media, and we'll include all the show notes as well as those Anthony Bourdain episodes that we watched, because they're really great ones, especially if you're interested in the area, and we'll include those in the show notes, and you can find all of that at breakingespanol.com, and we'll see you here next time. Ciao.